Welcome to this week's edition of the Don Cherry Grapevine Podcast. We were voted biggest and best in 2020 by Apple Podcasts, Dad. And Dad, we're going to do something. We usually don't do something like this, but I remember early, it was mid-April, Carey Price was in net, Montreal Canadiens were playing Ottawa, and they lost 4-0, and Carey Price let in 4 goals on 15 shots. And everybody was on him. Is he done? Their contract. I remember they were saying his contract.
Oh, yeah, 10-year contract.
His 10-year contract is, you know, the contract's handicapped in Montreal. Bergeron can't move him. They can't trade him. What are they going to do with him? And this is what you said on April 19th about Carey Price.
I have to go on one thing because I really like Carey Price. I really do. And as we speak now, Ottawa beat him 4-0. Canadiens outshot them. He had 15 shots on net. I'm saying, I hope, because I like Montreal Canadiens, hard to beat Kirk Muller. I say that he's going to come back in the playoffs and play like he did 3 or 4 years ago. What do you think, Tim? This is his one chance to win the Stanley Cup.
So, Dad, I guess you were pretty much spot on there, here as Montreal and Tampa are in the finals.
And Tampa, I picked them to win the Stanley Cup. And I know the Montreal fans are a little upset, but I'm still picking them to win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah. You know, it was funny, Dad, watching the, you know, let's talk a little bit about Montreal in Vegas. And I remember, I think 2 shows ago, I asked you, I said, Vegas really hits. Montreal kind of hits, but not like Vegas and Colorado. And I said, so are they going to run over Montreal? And you said, no. He said Vegas will stop hitting because Montreal doesn't hit as hard. And sure enough, that's what happened.
You know, what's the funny thing? When I was with the Bruins, they did the same thing. They'd start off and, you know, we'd have a terrific series against Philly or something, and Philly had hit back, and it was terrific. And then we'd play some team that didn't hit, and we'd fall right into their trap.
But you always used to say, and then unless someone woke you up, you
know. Well, I used to wake them up. Don't. And I used to have the second and third and fourth line all the time. They would play more than the first line, because the first line, I never had first, second, or third or fourth. How about the? I have to admit one thing. How about the fourth? They call it the fourth line. Of Sedidas, Clutterbuck, and Martin. I know they're gone now, but that's the second line if I've ever seen one.
Yeah, well, they start. Barry Trotz starts them every period.
You know, I have to tell you, again, when I do the Bruins, I used to, you know, why would they start Martin? Why would they start those guys? And I'll tell you why. I used to start the biggest line, biggest guys on the team. I'd start Terry O'Reilly, which was 6'2", he was on the right side. I'd start Mike Milbury, he played the left side on defense. And then I'd play John Wensink with 6'2". And then I'd play Peter McNabb in the center with 6'4". And then we'd have the superstar Park on the right side. Because what happens is you're sitting on the bench and you look out and you see those big guys. I thank you very much, Tim, for playing that, just to show how smart I am. And that's why I lasted 40 years on Hockey Night in Canada. But we have to cheer for Canadians. I know the rest of, especially the Toronto Maple Leaf fans, they will not cheer for Canadians, but we must. We have 15 Canadians playing for the Montreal Canadiens, 15 of them.
Actually, 16.
16?
Yeah.
Oh, all right, 16. And only one from Quebec, and the rest of them are from Ontario and
out west, BC.
Out west and out west, and so we have
and Tampa's got 15 Canadians.
I don't know how many Canadians Tampa.
No, they have 15. I counted them.
They have 15.
They have 15 Canadians, 6 from Ontario.
Well, get out.
Yeah.
Don't tell Leafs that, eh? Because don't tell the Leafs that, because
that says something. I don't know why, but it says something.
I never could understand the Leafs. They go out and they pick up free agency, and they're all from Ontario, and then they draft all foreigners. I mean, I hate to say it, they are foreigners. And
well, here's the one thing, Dad. You and we talked a little bit. We're getting off on a tangent here, but let's face it: the two guys that are you know, the young guys are really playing well for Montreal. But Perry and Staal, I think Staal's got 8 points. Perry is every game. He's in the middle of all the action.
Yeah, he's a mean guy.
But they play. They take pretty much a regular shift.
Well, Simmons was playing here pretty good till he broke his thumb.
Right, but in the playoffs. Joe Thornton didn't take a regular shift. And, you know, a big guy like that, it's kind of tough for him to sit on the bench.
And now they're saying, well, we don't want him back. We don't want him back. He never played.
Right. And they didn't play Simmons. He didn't take a regular shift. No. And the only guy that really kind of took a semi-regular shift who was older was Spezza. And look what he did.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think, you know, like, I wonder if Dubas and they did that more for show than anything. Because I look and you look at Montreal and those guys are playing and they're killing penalties. They take a regular shift.
Yeah.
Perry plays the power play in times, but
Staal got a couple of winners.
Yeah, Staal got he's doing good.
Jake Allen, I have to mention Jake Allen. He'll never be mentioned if I don't mention him. He took all the abuse and got them into the playoffs. And
well, you wonder if that'll be the strategy next year, because they're going to be in a tough division next year. Like just. Get us in, you know, Carey Price plays 40 games and Jake plays 40.
He's over 30 now.
Plays 40 games and just get us into the playoffs and, you know, we'll see where it goes from there.
Now, if you people that watch television and didn't notice what's going on, I noticed that a few things were said and you're wondering, I know you're wondering. First of all, we'll go Martinez. I couldn't believe, and I have to, Tim, you were the one that spot this out. Is that he put the puck, if you remember, he got the puck. It was a big goal, too. It was the first goal, I think, wasn't it?
First or second, yeah.
Yeah, first goal.
Of the last game, yeah.
Yeah, and he threw it up the side, and I thought, holy.
Well, right to Shea Weber, and he right walked in, and he just blasted it.
Just blasted it. I said, what a guy like Martinez. I mean, this guy is a good hockey player. Mary L.A. got the overtime winner.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good hockey player.
Yeah, because you look and you go, he's not chicken, so it's not like a guy was going to hit him. He would have taken the hit.
And he put it right on his stick.
What was he thinking? That's what everyone
and
was thinking.
You know what? He wasn't thinking of anything. His stick broke in half.
Oh. Yeah.
And if you look at it, you'll see that he doesn't have a stick. And, boy, I know it sounds ridiculous when you don't have a stick and you're a defenseman. You just don't feel right without a stick.
Yeah, well, he couldn't kind of hook the guy or whatever, but if you look, it broke right in the middle. So that's when he was, because it looked like he was trying to rifle it.
Yeah,
he was leaning on it, and it snapped
right. What is that guy? Anyhow, he broke his stick, wasn't mentioned. Now, one other thing I'd like to say, everybody was on Fleury, and that was a big goal when he went behind the net.
Could have cost him the series.
Yeah, and put the puck out in front of the net. And you remember the puck was going behind the net. It hit something on the boards, hit his stick, it come out in front, and I think it was Anderson put the puck in. Big goal.
Tied it up with less than a minute to go.
Yeah, a minute to go. And everybody is really ripping him. Now, what game was it? I forget. I guess it was the last game.
It was last game. So game six in Montreal.
So the puck is going around the same way, and it's going to Lettinen. How do you pronounce his
Lettinen,
name?
Yeah.
Lettinen. And the puck comes to him. It hit something back of the hit the same little thing that was sticking out. And you know they when they go around the bottom of the boards, they have a little they screw it in. And I noticed and you noticed him.
Yeah.
Price doesn't ever go behind right behind the net.
Yeah, like we're watching the game and the puck went around and it bounced just the way it bounced with Fleury and it went right through Lettinen's legs and he. It didn't hit his skate, but like if it hit his skate with Fleury, it might have popped out in front. Yeah. And I said, look, it was the exact same spot. It was about 15 minutes.
And it happened twice.
It 15 minutes in the...
15? It happened 14:95.
And then you go, you wonder if there's like a little, like just a little something on that board that makes the puck bounce like that.
And
we noticed when Price goes behind the net, he doesn't go right behind the net in that end. He just goes to the side of the net. So I'm wondering if he knows that it has a weird bounce there and doesn't commit himself.
Was that in Montreal?
Was that in Montreal?
So he knows the boards better than the visitor's goalie.
Yeah. When I go on the road, I'd stay out after and just shoot the puck around the boards and glass. And if there was a piece of the stanchion, as they said, stick it out or something like that. Because I'm not saying it's cheating. It's not cheating. It's just that you know the boards.
So, Dad, that last game between Tampa and the Islanders, what happened there? That for that goal. I mean, the Gord, he came out of nowhere, it seems, and they weren't ready for it.
I'm going to tell you what happened there. He came out of nowhere. I mean, I don't think the goalie was ready too. He was three quarters ready. I call it three quarters ready. What happened was they were changing, and the two guys were coming off one end of the bench, and. Gord was at the other end, at the other end of the bench, and he jumped on, and you could see the other. If you look at that goal, if you have time, if you look at that goal, you'll see the other guys are kind of looking back, and they're seeing the guys change. He jumped on, short shift, out of nowhere. I mean, he got that puck. There wasn't a guy around him, and a lot of people don't realize what happened was. It's what happened. He jumped on the ice. And the other guys were looking back at the other two guys that were changing. That's what happened. That's why he was so wide open.
Okay, Dad, the referees are really getting it in the papers. And what's your take on them, these games?
And on TV, too. The world is upside down. It used to be when you went into the playoffs, you knew the referees were going, as they say in the papers, put their whistle in their back pocket. Yeah, what they do is, they let it. That's why the playoffs are so great, and the referees are doing the same thing. They haven't caught. I just hope they don't change. Now the thing that they're doing that upsets a lot of people and guys like me is they'll go along. They'll let murder go along, and I love it. Then all of a sudden they'll call a chintzy penalty, and that costs the. You know, when you do that, that costs you a game.
Yeah, well, as they say, the world's kind of upside down because before, everybody was complaining that they were calling too many penalties, and the press and the fans were saying, "Oh, the referees are calling too many; they're ruining it." And now this year, they're saying they're not calling enough penalties.
No, and you know what? You can't call a chintzy penalty. For instance, and I go way back to Boston Bruins. I know I cheer for the Boston Bruins. I remember near the end of the period, it was a terrific game, and he called a penalty, and they scored, and it was 1-0. And, you know, the first goal, Cassidy was upset. Now, when the coach gets upset like that, players get upset, the Boston Bruins were never the same after that.
Well, it all seems to work out, because remember the Islanders were mad that Tampa scored a goal. I don't know if it was an overtime, but scored a big goal, and they said there were seven men on the ice. And Barry Trotz went, you know, he was all upset. And then they were down by a goal in game. I forget what game it was. They were down by a goal, Tampa was. And they had their goalie pulled, and they're really pressing, and they give the most chintzy penalty on Hedman. Like, you look and you go, I can't believe they called that penalty. And so it all kind of works out in the wash.
All comes out in the wash, as they say. And
But I saw one thing that in that game, I guess it would have been game six, that you said was Mayfield of the Islanders. He really gave a nice short little cross check to Kucherov, and look, he might have broke his ribs. But you said he cross-checked him just the way you say to cross-check a guy.
Don't make a great big cross check because the guy will fall down. You take a little short one and you just got to find the right spot. That's an awful thing to say, but you have to know how to cross check.
You got him right underneath, right later, right underneath.
I don't want to talk anymore about it. All right.
Okay, we won't talk about how to play dirty and cross check guys anymore. Dad, we'd like to thank our sponsor, spreads.ca. It's a Canadian owned casino and sports book. It's tailored to Canadians, which I always like, because you can use Canadian money, use the promo,
and it stays here. The money stays here,
right? And use the promo Grapes, and they'll match your first deposit up to $500. You get a bunch of spins on the big wheel to win some big dough, and then on your first sports bet, they'll spot you $25. So I'll tell you one thing. If you would have bet Montreal at the start of the playoffs and put $100 down, you'd be getting about $10,000 back if they win.
Tell Miss Tim, a guy wants to make a bet and he doesn't, he's a dumb like me. How does he get spread, and how does he get in contact with them to make the bet?
Well, you gotta go on the internet and you go www.spreads.ca. And then you go sign up, and then you go in and you sign up, and it tells you what to do. and then deposit, and you deposit the money into your kitty, I guess, that's holding there, and it tells you how much money you have that you put. And then you go to sports, and then they have every sport you can think of, every sport that you can bet on. And then you would hit NHL hockey, and they'll have, you can bet on the games, you could bet on who's going to win the series, and then they have unders and overs, and then they have prop bets. So you can bet, you know, Montreal's going to win in regulation, Montreal's going to win in overtime, who's going to score, who's going to get the first goal, race to three, who's going to get the first three goals, or who gets the goals three first, so all that stuff. But if I was betting, I would bet the under and over is always 5.5. So I would bet that, is a team's going to score 6 goals, or are they going to score 5 goals total? So I would bet with the two goalies in the finals, I would bet under.
Yeah, you're telling people how to bet. Yeah. Oh, that's good. The two good goalies.
Dad, who are you saying? Who you pick them? You said you're
picking Tampa. Well, at the start, I picked Tampa to win the Stanley Cup at the start, and I'm still sticking with Tampa, and I'm sure they win. I'm not saying that Price will play bad, but Tampa's too. They know how to win, and Khrushchev, I don't know, he must have froze him up and everything. He was there, but he got a little rest. I think he'll be okay.
So, Dad, it was some very sad news for the hockey world and for the Cherry family. Rene Robert passed away.
Yeah, and he sure liked the family. He was at the family all the time, and you were one of his favorites, didn't he?
Well, I remember he was one of Blue's favorites, yes, too. I remember he used to come in all the time, and Blue wasn't the friendliest dog. I mean, she picked and chose who she enjoyed, whose company. And I remember Rene would come in, and they would just smother him with kisses. I don't know.
I think Blue was a female.
Blue is a female. But Rene always smelled well, so I think it might have been the aftershave. So one time he came over with a bunch of friends over, and he called Blue, and he snapped his fingers, which was a big mistake with Blue. You don't snap your fingers, right? And then she didn't come. She just looked at him, and he snapped, and he walked away and sort of embarrassed Rene. Oh, wait, Blue, what's the matter?
Blue liked me anymore.
It was funny.
And I remember, Blue looking at me and said, "Who the is this guy think he is, snapping his fingers at me?" And turned around and walked back.
I think I mentioned that before in our movie when Jared Kiso, who played you and all that, Blue was underneath the table. There was a scene, and I was there when they were filming it, and Jared was snapping his fingers at Blue, and I said, "Oh, I got to do quality control." I says, "Dad would never snap his fingers at Blue," so they had to do the whole scene over again. I said, "Jared, don't snap your fingers to Blue."
Well, Rene was a good-looking guy.
Oh, boy, was he ever.
And he was on that French Connection line, and that was a big, back in those days.
You were playing with Buffalo, French Connection, Gilbert Perreault, Rick Martin, and Rene Robert. So their two big years were 74-75. That would have been your first year in Boston, and 75-76. And those 2 years, that line combined for 577 points. I think they had like 259 goals in 2 years, that line. So
they were really flying.
Well, I remember, though, I think Rene, a lot of people who remember him and remember that first year, they went to the finals against the Flyers.
In the fog. And that was Lorenz. I think that was the year he hit the bat, too.
Yeah, that was I don't forget what game it was, but it was in Buffalo, and it was really humid, and it was warm out, and there was fog all over the ice, and you couldn't see.
You really couldn't see.
It was right out of a movie, like a Stephen King movie. So I forget I think the referee was John McCauley. He'd blow the whistle, and both teams would get on the ice.
And they used towels, too. Yeah.
And they'd skate around as fast as they could, and they would the fog would raise up to the rafters. And then they played, and you could slowly see the fog coming back down. And during that game, a bat flew out of the rafters. And who hit it?
Jimmy Lorenz.
Jimmy Lorenz killed it.
Yeah, he killed it. Yeah, I'm sorry to say that.
So they called him Batman for the rest of his career.
I remember him hitting the bat. And then
Rene got the winner.
Oh, I was standing back at the goal, and it was fog, and Perrault was in the net.
Yeah.
And he just let a slap shot go. Reminded me of LaFleur's shot, and just a screamer.
He had two overtime winners that year.
Did he?
Yeah.
Boy, he could really slap a puck.
So, Dad, Rene played for you in Colorado.
Yeah, he played for me in Colorado. I think we traded him for John Van Boxmeer. They needed a defenseman. I think he ended up John Van Boxmeer going to Rochester. Never played. And what happened was, I think he went coach of the year.
Yeah, he ended up coaching.
So he John Van Boxmeer. Anyhow, we had Rene, and this floater of floaters got knocked out, and he was knocked cold. And the doctor was had him in the room and everything, and he turned, and all the players could hear him too. It was great, and I heard him too. And the doctor turned to the trainer and he says, "He doesn't know who he is." And as Rene walked by, he said, "Tell him he's Wayne Gretzky."
Well, I remember you were telling the funny story. Him and Lanny McDonald got along. And a lot of people will just tell quick that Lanny, you know, you got Lanny from Colorado, and he didn't want to come. And
yeah, Adele was having a baby.
And so you just told him to show up for the games.
I just show up to games, and you don't have to do any practices. So then he came. He got 25 goals in 45 games or some ridiculous.
Yeah, he ended up with, what, 39? Sounds
like but he was never, he only dropped in for the games. He played the games.
What a deal.
So, yeah, he loved it. And Rene said, "You know, the stick boy spends more time in the dressing room than you, Lanny."
It's funny, eh, Dad? You know, you talk about Colorado, but, you know, you look at, you know, Lanny ended up with 40 goals. Rene got 28 goals for you. Lucien Dubois had...
Bobby Schmatz.
And, you know, you had Mike Christie. You were just on the cusp of...
And DeLorme.
Ronnie DeLorme, yeah. And you had a tough team, and you were just on the cusp of doing great things, but all we needed was
a goalie, and I'm not going into Hardy again, but I got one more story to tell about Rene. He would tell you what a good friend he was, and when I got fired by Colorado, I come here to Toronto, Mississauga, and I couldn't get a job. Times were tough, and I remember Mike Murphy was with Molson's and Molson's Brewery, and he was a dear friend of Rene's, and I know Rene went to Mike Murphy, who went to Molson's, and got me to do the banquets. I wasn't making much money, but I'll tell you one thing, it sure helped the family.